How Did This Get Made, Comedy Bang Bang, Who Charted, Improv for Humans, Hollywood Handbook, and more are all performing on December 10th under one roof in Los Angeles, California at the Ace Hotel. It's going to be an awesome day and a very terribly titled show called the P-Cast Blast. That's right, P-E-E Cast Blast. It's awful. We hate the name of it, but what can you do? Ace Hotel, downtown Los Angeles, starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, goes until late night. Tickets go from anywhere from $50 all the way up to $125. There's VIP access, a whole bunch of cool shit. Go to acehotel.com/calendars to buy your tickets. It's going to be so much fun. Also, wanted to let you know that today's show is brought to you by our good old friends at Sonos. You know that I love Sonos. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to make your apartment or your house sound like you have put in hundreds of thousands of dollars for a professional speaker system when all you really had to do was simply hook up like one speaker and use this really easy to use app to make all your music just pop. You can play something different in the bedroom. You can play something different in the kitchen. You can make all your speakers play the same thing. It is amazing. I love Sonos. Sonos makes your music come together. Yeah, like it. Also, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Squarespace. Here's the deal, right? You want a website, it's hard to build, but Squarespace makes it easy with beautiful templates created by world-class designers. You are just a few clicks away from creating an amazing looking website. Plus, their analytics will help you grow in real time. And if you have a question, their award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help. Think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace, okay? And if you're going to go to Squarespace, use our offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain. Let's do it, Squarespace. There are many things to say about this film, but if you can only say one thing, I guess it would be, this is the only movie where Russell Crowe comes out of a cocoon. We saw Virtuosity, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! Thank you very much. We are live in Los Angeles at our LA home, Largo at the Coronet, a beautiful theater here in Los Angeles. And we have a very special show tonight. Not one guest, but two amazing guests. But first, please welcome my co-host, Jason Manzoukas. Welcome.
What's up, jerks?
Welcome, Jason.
Thank you, Paul.
Wowie.
I just learned from that trailer that this is from the director of Lawnmower Man.
Yes.
Which this is, I have a lot of questions about.
We're going back.
Why not? If I'm Denzel or Russell Crowe, why not watch that movie first and then be like, that's who's directing this script? Pass.
This, you know... I feel like they saw it and they're like, you know what? The second one has to be better.
Do you think, or maybe we're wrong, do you think that Lawnmower Man, they were like, this is such good computer animation. We can only hope that he will bring that level of expertise to this movie. Because this is another VR world from the same dildo who made that fucking movie.
All I'm going to say is it's no Hollywood. Thanks. We all know we have an anti-VR propaganda campaign coming out of Hollywood. These people were coming there to get some anti-VR propaganda out
there. I guess so.
I mean, look, I'm excited to talk about this movie.
Oh, boy, am I excited.
Did you ever see it before this?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
No, this was my first time.
I saw it and thought it was good as a kid.
Really?
Like, it had been suggested for the podcast numerous times, and I was like, well, no, we can't do that one. Because it's great.
Yeah, that's. I agree. I still don't understand why we did Face Off.
Well, we have two guests joining us tonight to help us make sense of it. Please welcome our first guest. He was on SNL for 6 seasons. He was also on Broadway in Hamilton. He has a brand new movie coming out called Killing Gunther, which you can get right now on iTunes. Please welcome Taron Killam.
Hello. Hello,
yeah.
Hello. Thank you, thank you.
Hey, you're good.
Okay, good.
You're great.
Good, good,
welcome.
Good. Thank you, thank you. First time, long time.
I'm so excited to have you here. And you had that same experience that I did. Like, you thought it was good,
it's a
right?
deceptive movie.
Yeah.
It's a very deceptive, because on paper, on poster,
yeah.
It has high pedigree. It has two Oscar winners as stars, and I remember renting it from Blockbuster. I was like, "Oh, that's a good one." So you guys have run out of bad movies,
and now we're just
and
going...
now we're like, "No, really, how did it get made? What ratio did they shoot in?" But no, it's crazy.
I thought this movie was good because what I was like, what I had in my purview at the time when this came out, which was like, I was like, you know, a freshman in high school. So I was like, yeah, this is action movies. And little did I know, I should have been renting something way better than this.
This movie should star Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
That's the level this movie is at. Inexplicably, Denzel Washington is.
Yeah.
At.
And who is invaluable. I think he comes out clean.
By the way, he
can do no wrong. Crow is swinging for the fences.
Listen.
I have a lot.
Once he started naked stabbing with a knife.
Yes. This is like Australian like, first time in the States.
I was like, oh.
I will say this.
Romper stomper?
Russell Crowe chews the scenery. Literally. Eats parts of the props and the set design.
He insisted that everything be made out of edible material. Like all of the set walls were made of Oreos and graham crackers. Also how he got very fat.
Our next special guest tonight is just fantastically funny. Her special, Speck of Dust, is streaming on Netflix right now. Her movie, Battle of the Sexes, is in theaters. But the show that I'm most excited to tell you about is her brand new half-hour variety talk show, I Love You, America, which is streaming on Hulu, premiered October 12th, and it's every Thursday night. Please welcome Sarah Silverman! Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Welcome, Sarah. And did you see this movie when it came out?
I most certainly did not. But I did watch it recently on the YouTubes.
Yeah, this movie, I like movies like this when you can step back. Like, this movie was made in 95, and clearly people are like, we're ahead of it. By the time 2017 comes, we're all in a virtual reality world. I mean, they thought they were doing something big here.
I was pretty stunned because I go, wow, the special effects are garbage, but it was a long time ago. And then I look it up and I go, 95? What else was made in 95? Apollo 13, Toy Story.
And Jurassic Park had been
out for a while. 2 years. It is very contradictory because it's like virtual reality, artificial intelligence,
yes,
and nanotechnology, but they still have like switch button TVs and can solve everything by cutting phone lines.
What's very interesting to me, the part of the movie that I feel like gets the least attention but is the most interesting, is that they are able to grow in a cocoon a human.
Which doesn't seem necessary.
What? No, yeah.
That's the headline.
It's nano, it's
the
blue goo.
The headline isn't like, oh, I created a cool VR game. Right. The headline is like, I can grow people.
Yes.
And we can put these cubes in them,
yeah,
which are souls, I guess.
Right.
What is this? And then it's like, there's a one guy who's like, I could create a golem. And somebody else is like, well, I can give you a soul. And now we get to make Russell Crowe. And everybody's like, yeah, but who cares? Who cares? The parts that's interesting is the video game. This movie has a legit cocoon in it.
I'll go one step further and say the movie opens in this weird world. So it's in a virtual reality world where it's supposed to be training cops,
right?
But they're training cops to get into gunfights with a serial killer? Like, that seems like it would seem like target practice would be maybe a good thing to do. Yeah.
But the cops are also forced to wear Eddie Murphy's outfit from Raw.
Yeah, they're in full leather.
Purple leather outfits.
And Russell Crowe is wearing the mask suit.
A suit. He's wearing that suit. Then he gets a purple suit later that he steals off a patron at a video rave. I don't know what that is. That man is then interviewed in his underwear on television and says, he stole my suit. He made me take my clothes off. It cost me $150? Russell Crowe's been going around feeling the fabric of every suit in existence, and the one he steals was the $150 suit? I don't think so.
He's a man of simple taste. Maybe that was one of the serial killer's things, that the serial killer liked cheap suits. He has 168 serial killers. Yeah, that's an odd thing, and it's also like mixed in with the serial killers are like Hitler.
Hitler, Lenin.
You could argue those are serial killers.
You're right.
It depends. Like, Paul, this brings up an interesting point, Paul, because I just want to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Because I've heard you say some stuff. Do you think the Holocaust happened? Because this, you know, do you think genocide A happened and B would qualify someone as
a serial killer? Let's save it for my special pay version of this show. How did this get made? World War II. We'll get into it. We'll talk about all my theories. I'll break it down.
Yeah, I mean, we live in really sensitive times, so try to say alleged Holocaust. Yeah. You don't want to offend.
Interesting. I will say, very interesting. We did not hear an answer.
You guys, we gotta
hold his feet to the fire.
This is where it comes out.
You are Mel Gibson's father.
it's just a flawed system because I don't think most police. I mean, what the general conceit of the movie is: we need to create this monster serial killer. Because policemen need to have like that on the spot training, but that's not like a thing that policemen go do is hunt down serial killers. That's like a very small, I would imagine the smallest.
I think detectives do that.
Okay, yeah, all right, so
but
yeah.
I mean, like, that would be a fraction of the police force would need this training.
Right,
yes. Yeah.
So say like, how many serial killers are loose in a given year?
But also the scenario is,
one.
You're in a city.
Maybe.
You're in a full city.
Yes.
And there's a serial killer out there. Go!
Yeah.
And also, within the world, what's also an interesting and bizarre choice is within the world of the VR simulation, the Russell Crowe character is not tethered to reality's rules. Gravity doesn't matter. He appears to be able to like teleport between places.
Face swap.
Yeah.
He literally face swaps.
So yes. That's not anything you'd ever be up against.
Yes.
Right.
So what's it training you for?
It's training you to confront a VR killer in VR. That's the only...
The lesson is like the killer always leaves a clue for you, which is just a smiley face sideways.
And I love that he's like, it's what people used to put in emails. I love that. I also was like, every single person in the simulation is wearing a gray suit and tie. except for all the people in the sushi restaurant that are dressed like geishas. Like, that's it. That's the only two character archetypes that weirdo created.
So, this movie, that's not even part of it. We find out Denzel Washington is a prisoner, that this VR rig can give people epileptic fits, but we find out later Russell Crowe is responsible for that from inside the machine. And also, that Denzel Washington has a metallic arm, which does come into play in a way that you wouldn't, like, ever really think it would come into play.
I
missed that completely. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I saw no part of a metallic arm, so I...
Did you see
the MacGyver hack is what you mean, right?
Yeah,
is
when that, he pulls like the wires out of his arm.
I don't know how to defuse this bomb. Maybe I'll plug my arm into it.
I did see that. Yeah.
But it is...
Oh, the bomb that's going off towards the end.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but it's an odd choice that they're like, oh yeah, he's got a metallic arm. You would think, oh, he could maybe then punch more, or no. And by the way, well, yeah, I would think he would be a danger in the prison with a metallic arm as some, you know, again... Well, there's a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, not a lot of answers, Paul. Not a lot of answers.
It's so much setup. It's so much, like, he's in prison. This city has the loosest police policy in the world.
So much of what happens in the movie, the police could very easily figure out the reality and the truth of. They never investigated.
It's an amazing accomplishment in terrible storytelling. I mean, even, like, he's got all the snarky comment, like, Freeze got the evil bad guy jokes,
yeah.
You know, that sound like, I feel like they had a think tank of 14-year-old C students that just came up with every kind of, he's chilling out.
Yeah.
And then it should pay off where you see that the guy is packed in ice, but they wait about 3 minutes before that reveal, and it's like there's too much distance. It's odd.
They didn't want to make it too jokey, but they still wanted jokes. It's like, just like space out the setup and the punchline by just 5 minutes solid. So you got a real thinker.
And I feel like he's really relishing those lines. Like when he gets a human body, when he comes out of his cocoon, guys, I will only talk about this cocoon. When he comes out of the cocoon and then his first action is to cut his own finger off, lick the blood, and then he goes, a very good year.
And he wouldn't have blood, though, because we are shown in a scene that I watched multiple times and made no sense anytime with the snake, where the person that describes what's going on is like, he cuts a snake in half, and he's like, put on these virtual reality goggles, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, I see it. And I'm like... Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but...
And then the snake...
No, the glass is like their fuel.
Yeah.
Regenerative.
But this is only happening because the inventor of this cocoon bioorganic nanotechnology is a horny piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's going to have sex with the girl...
From the game Sexy Chess.
Right.
Yeah.
Who? Yeah.
Which I looked up and does not exist for iPhone. I looked it up. I looked
up Russell Crowe
Sexy
is
Chess,
about...
Sheila Chess. I looked every combination up. It's not on iOS.
About to anally penetrate, I believe you were about to say.
Yeah, I was like, Russell Crowe's like, now you gotta watch me have sex. And but he does it in a way, it's like, well, you have the computer, just shut off the computer. Like, why would I? Yeah. Like, he was cuckolding his creator.
Yeah.
But the creator has all the power in this world. It's like, there was one part where Russell Crowe's like, come closer. He's like on a 12 foot by 12 foot screen. It's like,
and the eye lines are way off too. His eye lines are way off. Like the guy's looking at him right like this, and Russell Crowe's looking like over to the ground. If the guy's here, I was like, this is not compelling at all. It felt like a shitty. Like I would rather this whole movie. And guys, nerds, you can cut it in. Cut instead to Max Headroom instead of Russell Crowe. That's what it felt like to me. Like that kind of a character. Is everybody too young for Max Headroom? Maybe.
Something that'll come up across the board too is how much additional dialogue recording happens in this movie and how hot it's coming in at all times. Like, where I couldn't take it anymore is, cutting to the end when he's shooting Russell Crowe, and it's Russell Crowe's voice going, ha, oh, ha, eh, oh, ha, eh, oh, ha, eh. Like fully going, but clearly so much of it, like so many characters in one, and like exposition off camera,
oh, yeah,
just thrown in. Like they must have had like 2 months to shoot it, and then 3 for just like dialogue recording.
Oh, this movie I feel like was a mess.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that is so true because I remember feeling like, is this in another language and dubbed? And then I go, no, it's English. Yeah. But it feels that way.
It really, it's like the room quality off camera lines of like, well, he's going up there. He's got a bomb. Oh, no. Oh, he's angry because that man killed his wife.
Keep the camera on the back of their heads as much as you can and just drop a paragraph of exposition. Now, what we're laying out for you is a complicated premise. Let's add one other layer. Denzel Washington also happened to kill a serial killer,
yeah,
who killed his family, and that's also one of the personalities in Russell Crowe's program. So Denzel Washington has to face off against the serial killer that he already killed.
He brings him to the surface, it says. It says that Denzel being present brings out this, who like, he's a serial killer, but he's also like a guerrilla warfare hero because he has a camera crew.
He's a terrorist.
He's like a, he's yeah. He has a popular catchphrase that they very politely ask him to repeat, which is just,
will you please say your catchphrase?
Please say your famous catchphrase. Your popular. Please say your popular catchphrase. And he goes, this one's for you, Parker.
Yeah.
Which is like, how is that a popular catchphrase if nobody knows who this police officer is that he's addressing?
Yes, they exist in a world which the news is covering a domestic terrorist so that they can get him to say his patented catchphrase, which is in and of itself taunting a police officer.
One person.
Who goes covert, who dresses head to toe in black with like football field black makeup under his eyes to sneak into a warehouse, an affordable location of a warehouse. And this guy's being interviewed, and his family... So Denzel's in prison with a cybernetic arm because this guy booby-trapped his family. So Denzel blows up his family.
His own family.
His own family. His arm is blown off. That doesn't stop him. Now he's seeing red. He takes out the terrorist serial killer and his entire group.
And wait, this is the best part. So you think that's enough, right?
Right.
Oh, that's why he's in jail.
That's not why he's in jail. He's in jail because this two-man operation of a camera crew, KTLA Local 5, jump out at the wrong point and he mows them down. And I hope that the trial was in the original script. That the court trial was, so you were on the case for 6 months and he kidnapped your family and he held them hostage by a bomb and he tricked you into blowing them up and you lost your arm but didn't go unconscious and were able to walk around and you killed 40 evil terrorist serial killers and then the main bad guy and then you shot the fucking worst news crew, like TMZ style duo. You're going to prison, bud, and we're putting you in with all the Nazis we can find.
And it would be so much simpler to be like, he's a cop, he killed this terrorist, and now this terrorist is back because he's part of the personalities of the program. Like, to go with this weird backstory where... Like, he's now in prison, because that pays off in really no way whatsoever.
It's not important.
It's not an important
fact. And what's even crazier that we have not really explained is that the Russell Crowe character exists as a computer program and then is brought into the real world via Cocoon. So I feel like they got to a place in the script where they were like, oh, I feel weird about this. The only way this could really heighten is if Russell Crowe came out of the computer and then was terrorizing, you know, the real world. That would give it stakes, but how could you do that? I don't know. And then somebody was like, dude, I got it. Cocoon.
Tell me more.
Guys, did you see the movie Cocoon?
Yeah. Yeah. I just came back. Ronnie
Guys,
Howard.
Someone nailed it.
Someone was walking by the prop warehouse. I go, there it is. Yep. That's from the movie. We're putting Russell Crowe in one of those.
The gestation period is one day, and you grow a full Russell Crowe.
Full Russell Crowe who is ready to go and kills the man who created him instantaneously. And then...
The man who created his body, even though the man who created his body thought he was getting a hot chick.
And then we're not even talking about the buns.
Yeah.
Naked, immediately goes into naked Tai Chi.
Yep.
Which, we would play it, but you just envision Russell Crowe naked at the height of his attractiveness.
Just this is what around. You would say is the height of his attractiveness?
I would say this is 95. Like the sexy, the sexiest Russell Crowe you're going to get.
This is sexy smooth Crowe, not gruff, muscly gladiator Crowe.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
But
right.
He's had some phases of foxiness.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, he's a foxy
Listen,
guy.
We all agree, Russell Crowe's a hunk.
Listen, he's a brilliant actor,
yes.
But I'm not saying I think he's a genius actor, but some people are brilliant actors and they're people of substance. Some people are brilliant actors and they are literally empty vessels through which great acting comes through.
Yeah.
I fear Russell Crowe may be the latter. I also feel he may have had a lot of creative influence on this, as well as his band 30 Odd Foot of Grunts. Does have a song in the show, in the movie.
I can like 100% verify that, only because the week he hosted SNL, there was a point of contention in that he played a a virtual reality King Henry VIII. And if you go back and watch it, at the very end, he runs around and tries to perform Cunnilingus on A.D. Bryant, which everybody at the show is asking him not to do, and he insisted it be the final moment of that sketch. So if you go back and watch it, you will see holographic Russell Crowe make a mad dash around this chair, and it cuts out to the exterior of the museum, because they wouldn't let Russell have that moment.
Well,
because everybody asked him as politely and kindly as possible, we don't think the cunnilingus is gonna work. And he's like,
and he was like, I can make it work.
It will.
Let me show you the one thing that I know for sure in this movie was something that Russell Crowe fought for. It will be this transition coming up.
SID 6.7 isn't bound by programming anymore.
What does that mean?
In the real world, he's free of any behavioral limits he might have had in virtual reality.
He's evolving. My God. He's evolving.
Into what?
$150 suit.
So Russell Crowe fought a hard battle to get it to be the Bee Gees staying alive for that scene that he wanted. He really thought that would be the best.
And I think I would argue he was right.
I was just going to say, I support it.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah. Best moment.
And big ups, just quick sidebar, on this Aquanet wave front hair situation that he's got going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely flawless.
Hey, everybody. Let's take a brief break in the show to hear a few words from our sponsors. First of all, just a reminder, 1210 PCAST Blast. It's a terrible title, but it's a great day of podcasts all together on one stage at the Ace Hotel. Go to theacehotel.com/calendars. That's in Los Angeles, California, to see How Did This Get Made, Comedy Bang Bang, Improv for Humans, Hollywood Handbook, and more, all on the same stage. Now, talking about an amazing event, after that, you're going to need to take a good old sleepy nap. That's right. And when you want to take a sleepy nap, you're going to want to sleep on a bed that is so premium and sells them online for a fraction of a cost than what they would cost in the store. I'm, of course, talking about sleeping on a Casper mattress. That's right. Okay, because here's the deal. Casper doesn't just make a mattress and stop. No. They continuously develop their mattresses using feedback from their 500,000 customers. So if you're like, I want it to have more spring, they're like, we're going to give it to you. Okay, they've actually even developed their own proprietary foam that relieves pressure and increases airflow. What? How do they do it? You are sleeping on the future, people. Okay, real customers. These are real people. They have said that sleeping on their mattress is like sleeping on a brioche. I don't know what that means. It feels crummy to me, like literally crummy, but it also sounds amazing. I would love to sleep in a croissant. Anyway, here's the deal. We spend one third of our lives on a mattress, so it's important to sleep on a good mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. If you don't like it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. No shit. Plus, get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how and use the code how. That's H-O-W. Terms and conditions apply. All right, now back to our show.
And I would also like to give a shout out to the fact that we've got Bills, both Forsyth and Fichtner in this movie.
The Billies.
You got to get those Bills in there.
Get the Billies.
Oh, one other thing about 30 Odd Foot of Grunts. He shot a music video in between setups for scenes.
Using the set, right?
Yeah, using the set. So that video is, if you want to check it out, is The Photograph Kills.
I think you could really argue that his acting career is his hobby. And that his actual career is the lead singer of 30 Odd Foot of Grunts.
I think he feels that way. Yeah.
I once had a weird random dinner with Russell Crowe. And
not a lot of people know this. You guys were together for many years.
And I'm not embarrassed about it now to talk about it. The one thing that I thought was the biggest power move I've ever seen by anyone was he didn't like the lighting in this restaurant, and he called over the waiter, and he's like, can you get these lights out? And then the waiter had to get up on the table and unscrew the light bulbs for two of the lamps. Perfectly polite about it. He's like, hey, can you get these lights out? I don't like the lighting. And immediately the waiter's like, oh, yeah, sure. And it was a lovely time. But I just love that he had no, like, yeah, unscrewed light bulbs. Yeah, that was, he also forced me to tell him a joke, which is the hardest thing. I go immediately blank, and then he had like 10 of them, and then would go, he would do one, and then you go, now you tell me one. I'm like, but we already ran through it. I don't have it. I don't.
He loves comedy.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes...
And cunnilingus, apparently.
You ever like sit next to a plane, on a plane to like a real aggro guy like that? Or is like, you're a comedian? I'm hilarious.
Everybody says I should be a comedian. Everybody says I should do that.
Ugh. Speaking of
that always happens right before a very uncomfortable racist joke. Now,
speaking of music videos,
yes.
The director of this film was like a music video director, and I think he might have done like some Peter Gabriel stuff early on.
Because he did that. Because he did that Peter Gabriel VR video.
Exactly, because yes. The end credits song.
There's two Peter Gabriel songs.
Peter Gabriel,
yeah.
and so out of place. There's so much music that is out of place in this film.
Yeah.
There is so much, and the one that like I don't understand is when Russell Crowe breaks him out of the security truck.
Sure.
And it goes into like third tier Pearl Jam song about freedom.
And I believe is live in this as well. Yeah. Yeah, right? There's a live song.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, maybe.
That might be who it is. Which is a very Pearl Jam-esque band of that era.
I'm surprised that they got Salisbury Hill for the...
Now, this is a movie...
When Denzel's family blows up. Climbing up on Salisbury Hill!
Like, the music choices are weird, but the way that they're mixed in is even weirder because this is... The movie ends. It's like this crazy action ending. And listen to how the Peter Gabriel song comes in because it starts off not as the Peter Gabriel song.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's almost like the DJ, like, left the booth. Like, oh, shit! And he puts it on, like... So here you go. Yeah, action movie. Action movie.
So...
It's like I'll Stand By You in emotion.
This footage is also insane.
Yes.
Like, it's just...
It's 20 minutes of helicopter rotation.
Of clumsy helicopter rotation. And it's working at odds with the motion of the credits going up, and it's like, it's making me nauseous to watch.
It is, and the one thing we haven't even mentioned is that Denzel Washington is also partnered up. He gets a partner.
He gets a haircut.
Gets a haircut, immediately shaves off his dreads, which I kind of liked. The whole thing, I think Denzel Washington's great, and I feel like anything he's in, I'm always like on board for. But I feel like he wears a sweatshirt in this movie, and I feel like that was the level of performance.
It's
like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wear a sweatshirt.
I better be comfy.
Like, I'm going to, like, yeah, that's like, I'm going to give you that. Like, it's good. It's
loose
comfortable.
Knit.
It's like, yeah, but it's like.
Well, it's also,
how do you see your character? Loose knit.
Yeah. Well, that's the, like, it's that mid-90s, everybody's clothes are enormous. Like, everybody's wearing clothes that are, like, super big and boxy, and it's super funny. Like, when he gets his new set of clothes, because he doesn't have to be in the prison jumpsuit, it's like a tan jacket that is so wide, it's so, like, formless and bizarre. This made me nostalgic for, like, all those terrible clothes.
And there's so much...
No, that's a good loose coat. Sarah, good loose coat.
That's great, Sarah.
For that's the cool kind
of
loose coat.
I'm wearing an oversized coat.
I didn't notice. I mean...
Now, Paul, you say he's partnered with, but by her choice, demands it. She goes, I'm going with him. And it's like, who is... She's like a psychologist.
She's like... She's not even a police employee.
No.
She's like an independent researcher, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in the private sector.
Oh, yeah, but it's fine when Castle does it. These are fucking sexists.
Sarah, we asked you not to promote Castle.
Can't help it.
The other thing, too, like... I mean, about this partner, like, they are treating it like a serial killer's on the loose. No one at any point goes, wait, fucking thing came out of the computer and is running around? Like, this is an unstoppable computer program? Like, no one has...
Well, Billy Two says it's evolving.
It's a... But, I mean, the fact that it's a computer program is insane. Like, it's out of the computer. like, that should be...
That was the episode Paul broke.
Is this only now occurring to you?
I just feel like no one gave it its proper due. Like, they're like, well, you got to, like, they're like treating it like a normal guy.
Yes.
It's like, he's a fucking computer
program. That's exactly right. Everybody's treating it like he's the villain of a normal bad, like a Hans Gruber bad guy. But he is, in fact, a computer program brought to life
in a cocoon. Who is unstoppable. Who is literally unstoppable. Like, people are always shooting at him. It's like, why? He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But
nobody does the research either. Nobody really like inquires like, now what are the limits here? What exactly are we dealing with?
Well, his only weakness is vanity. Like, he wants to be loved. He wants crowds to adore him and look at him and like to be loved by the most people. Like, that seems to be his what he's after.
And skull punches.
What leads to Death TV.
Dare I say, there are glimmers of like, oh, this could have been an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Like, even like when he sees his reflection for the first time and he's like, I'm beautiful. Like, I don't know. The story could be great. Like, it could have been Terminator.
It seems so perfectly like simple, but then so complicated. It was like, it's like, oh, that's like a turkey sandwich. It's delicious. But it's like, but what if eggplant was on it? Oh, yeah. And you know what? Instead of bread, it's a bagel bun. It's like, and you're like, oh, okay. It's like,
But it also is like, and instead of cheese, it's a flannel blanket.
Yeah.
Like, it really is, like, and I'm being serious. What's Russell Crowe's plan?
To start a TV station?
What is he doing? Is he trying to get a new network up and running?
Well,
Death TV?
Well,
he already has graphics, inexplicably.
Well, by the way.
Graphics.
Who made the graphics? Who made these graphics?
The best thing is, who made the graphics? Or
yes,
who made his patch? He wears
who
a
made
patch.
That patch?
He wears a patch when he's in the TV station that says
is...
Sid 6.7. So they don't even
it's
do this.
Sewn. It's a sewn patch.
No, it has a Velcro bottom, too, because yes. Remember, he puts it on over the other one.
Yeah. How simple would it have been if he killed a janitor named Sid and just taken that? No, no, no. This one says Sid 6.7.
I have...
Does he want people to know that he's Sid 6.7? Isn't he trying to blend in? No,
I don't think so. Not. But I mean, I'm serious. Like, what's his plan?
Well, by the way, what is he there to do? One more thing on Death TV is that you know he's a bad guy because behind him, his screensaver are axes,
swords,
and knives, and it's maybe like a bomb.
I believe there's a scimitar back there somewhere.
Like, so he put a lot, like, this is like a real quick launch of a network.
Yeah. No, the entirety of Death TV is like the PowerPoint is ready for investors. You know what I mean? Like, he is putting this thing together.
And then this is one other logo thing that I thought was funny. What is this logo trying to be? Which is, it says, right when you first see it, it says, is ?TV. When you play it,
political sensitivity of the immigration issue and the possibility of closing the American border.
What is that logo? TV is TV?
Whoa! What?
Like, there, sensitivity
no one just.
What is that?
Is TV?
This is blowing my mind. This is the kind of clip that could make you go insane.
It's just TV and is circling around a question
mark. Honest to God, play this for. Like, play this in Guantanamo and people will tell us what they know.
I need to know, like, can't we IMDb, like, who the graphics designer is and then try to find her or him and then see if we can get the number or if they are on Twitter or something and find out what the fuck is ?TV?
That was like the one where he was like, shit, I just did this nightmare dreamscape and I did the snake thing. Oh, we need the TV graphic. He's like, here. And like, he was like, he crammed it at the last second.
Now, not to devil's advocate, but I believe we have mentioned he is a computer program.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh. Wait, so you think...
I didn't bring her.
One person.
I didn't bring her.
One person.
I didn't bring her. I didn't bring her.
Thank you. Guys, Taryn's aunt is here. You're doing great.
Watched it and took notes. I'm just referencing her notes.
Can we talk about the acronym that is SID?
Oh,
sadistic?
Yeah. I wrote it. Yeah. Sadistic, intelligent, dangerous.
Okay, it stands for sadistic, intelligent, dangerous. Now that sounds very silly. Until you remember international business machines. And you go,
oh,
you know
you're
what?
Right.
A lot of those acronyms.
Or anachronism would be a different word, but
right.
Different word.
Yeah, it seems like it is on that line of the IBM. It's like just like he's sadistic, he's intelligent,
or IBS.
He's dangerous.
Irritable bowel syndrome. Let's open it up. Who else can think of acronyms? I'd love to just start tossing them around.
There's
SCUBA. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
But then they also have... But then, in a movie with a bunch of good acronyms, they kind of, I feel like, kind of shit the bed on LTAC, right? Where that was like the main one, which is like LTAC Tech Advanced. Like, it's like
The guy that created the SID program.
Yes.
That nerd who then...
hides in the hotel room.
What's his story? Why is he doing this? He obviously is wanting to bring Sid into the world as a proud parent? Is he an agent of chaos? Like, what's his M.O.?
What's not clear to me is that at first it seems like he's hiding from Sid.
That's what I thought.
Because he's there and then he runs away and he's hiding from Sid. And then he's hanging out with Sid.
Why?
And then they're cool again.
Why in his hotel room?
Yes.
Does he right, nope, death to pigs on the wall. Why does he do all the same stuff that Sid's do? Like, what's up with this guy?
Yeah, that guy was a piece of crap.
I didn't realize that he wrote. I didn't realize that he wrote it on his wall either.
He seemed like trouble.
What, Paul?
I didn't. No, I didn't realize that he wrote it on his wall either.
Yeah.
I'm upset for the hotel because that's like a charge. It's going to be a big charge.
Yeah.
They're going to charge him for that. There's so much to talk about. There's the wrestling match.
Kapow. Kapow. Kapow, 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 kapow.
Is that how wrestling works?
Yeah. I truly think my favorite line of dialogue of the whole film, again, an ADR thing, is like, now this woman has been on the screen for a full 2 minutes, justifying that Russell Crowe's character sees this attractive woman. It's a wrestling match where two fights seemingly to the death are happening in a cage, and a brainwashed
cult
chanting in the middle of the day. And they go, and they're showing just a shot of a woman dancing to the Kapow chant to justify Russell Crowe being at a Circuit City Superstore, then finding that arena, walking into this arena with no problem, finding the seat of this woman in the arena, walking up to her, leaning in, grabbing her by the neck, say, I'll make you a star, still smiling, then licks tongue.
Yes.
Not cool with that.
First, you're forgetting, first he picks up her boyfriend and throws him.
After the lick, and throws him.
Yeah.
Kapow doesn't stop.
Kapow
they
never
keep kapowing.
Stops.
Keep on kapowing.
And
K-O-K.
Everybody in the audience is only saying kapow, kapow,
yeah.
Kapow. About as if like they're like in a trance or something.
Yes.
Like there's a maniac.
It's a Kali Ma sort of cult happening.
There's a maniac throwing human beings across the
arena. Who dies and they cheer.
Yes.
For an audience.
Maybe they thought it was part of the wrestling.
Maybe. I'm just saying, this movie's flawed.
But you know what, Taryn, when you say like, how could he be at Circuit City, see it on TV, find the seat she's in, know exactly. Let me remind you, he's a computer program.
That's true. That's totally true. That's
he
totally true.
He has the brain of totally Jesse true. James, Billy the Kid, and Mussolini. He can find a seat. And he can also do cool shit like this, which is my, I think this is my favorite part of the movie, where he tortures people in a robot club. Well, it's a club where people are pretending. Well, there is a robot bartender.
There he is, right? That guy's a robot?
Yeah, he is a robot.
Only robot in
but
the
then
whole
he tortures
movie.
People and then records a symphony of their screams and then plays it, but not the torturing of them. He's just playing them instruments. So, like, in my mind, if you're the serial killer, I would just be tweaking the individual people. He's sampling them.
Yes. I feel like maybe with all those serial killers, Reggie Watts might have been in there as well.
Yeah, he's looping everybody's screams. I neither understood. This scene in particular confused me because I was like, ooh, I don't know what any of these instruments are. And I could not get past the robot bartender. That was somebody acting like a robot, right?
No, that was a robot.
No, there are robots in this?
That bar.
Are there robots in this world?
Because
where?
Because I feel like it was
just
like,
there
at the bar.
Just there.
So you're telling me, in this movie, in this world of this movie, we have androids.
No, I think it's like a Walt Disney World thing. It's like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde club in New York City. It's like that's the one
ground
key
okay,
of
okay.
this place.
All right, that's different.
We have one robot bartender, and he probably can't even make you a real drink.
Okay. Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think he's a functioning robot.
So you're saying you wouldn't hire a robot bartender? Interesting.
Talk about
interesting
it on my paid,
anti-robot
the paid
stance.
By the way, before he takes over the band was fronted by Tracy Lords and her cameo. But here we go.
This sounds a lot like Guns N' Roses, by the way.
And by the way, if you're at home listening, playing instruments that look like out of a bad ripoff of Star Trek, yeah. like set design. Like they're not instruments. They're just glowing orbs yeah. on top of that he's like, glowing platforms.
That he's tapping his fingers on top of.
Yeah.
He's basically fingering a bunch of orbs and music is happening.
It's good though.
Oh, believe me.
I think Tracy Lords was in fingering orbs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to go home. Aunt, you want to bring the van around?
Wow. She drives?
Yeah.
You make your aunt drive you
yeah.
around.
Yeah. And she makes me sit in the back. I'll wow. always be her little baby, her little baby nephew.
I'm realizing something. I think what you were saying earlier, Sarah, about like him seeing himself and realizing that he's attractive. And Jason, you're going like, oh, what's his plan? I think he just wants to be famous. Like, because he is like, yeah. he's like, I made a band. And now I was like a hit at the wrestling now. I'm going to run a TV network. It's the weirdest trajectory for a serial killer
and he's
not to kill.
Yeah.
Like just to be famous.
Well, he's obsessed with the ratings. You remember like when they cut the phones and he's like, where are my phone? Where are the phones? He's like obsessed with, why? How
and
will
the
I
ratings
know?
Go
but
up.
But they're pulsing.
The
they're pulsing. So people
the
in the hundreds
go up,
of
like
thousands.
Everyone's at home like going, near, like, turning yeah.
People are simultaneously turning off the TV and turning it back on so that these ratings can pulse up and down constantly.
Like you would have to be mental to be like, oh, they're not killing anyone. Turn it. Yeah. Well, let me go back and check. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, still no, no.
You have no-
like it's an interesting movie because he is such a larger than life big villain. Like he is a computer program that is brought to life. He's got the mental capacity of like however many dozens of famous murderers and psychopaths. Blah 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 blah. All he cares about is destroying Denzel Washington's life. Yeah. So much that when Denzel Washington is like arrested and put in, like going to go back to prison, he breaks him out so he can be like, still play with me, right? Like he doesn't seem to have any other goals in mind except to taunt Denzel Washington.
It's just one of those things of like, he just has so many serial killers in him, it's just a too many cooks situation. Yeah. He's
and,
not focused.
And by the way, I would argue the serial killer should feel satiated. He did kill his wife and daughter. And then Denzel Washington killed him, but it wasn't like he got like, he did his.
And they keep saying like, his name? Grimes, right? Grimes is the serial killer that killed Denzel's family. Is that like Grimes is the dominant or whatever? Like,
well, he draws him to the surface. Parker being around.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that line. Because I was like, I gotta figure like, Mussolini is going to really muscle out somebody, like whoever Grimes, you know.
Well, look, here's a little scene. You can see John Wayne Gacy only has 19% of the thing. Well, here we can hear the exposition.
This is using some kind of genetic algorithms.
The clown
Sid's
is the
too
best.
Complex to design. Lindemeyer had to grow him up psychologically, like a real person with multiple personality disorder. Program learns like a child. Much faster.
By the way, all you're seeing is like a baby's mouth being shot at by lasers, like morphing, like he's sucking it in. Adolf Hitler, only 7%. That is what Adolf Hitler's only had 7% in it.
So there's twice as much John Wayne Gacy in Sid 6.7, and yet not one man's ass was eaten in this entire film.
This is only
like
Sid 1.2.
And let him watch them cannibalize each other.
And only the strong ones survive.
What's the clown?
John
Wayne Gacy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
That's
what is that? What is that image?
I feel like that may be Jeffrey
I'm not even
Dahmer.
Kidding.
Clyde
is
Drexler.
Is this a secret image? What is that?
I think
whose face is
I
that?
I think they're trying to do different faces because you see, but that I don't know. That may be the graphic designer.
It's like Hitler mixed with
is it
Rue
Dahmer?
McClanahan.
Maybe it's Dahmer. Like it might be Travolta.
Hey everybody, I've been flying Delta a bunch, and you know why? because they make flying fun and easy. I've told you about their amazing entertainment system that they have there. I mean, you could pick any movie at all. Now they're stepping up the game by adding free messaging. That's right. You don't have to be off the grid when you're in the air. It's easy to access. You can use the WhatsApp, iMessage, or even Facebook Messenger. You just log on to the Wi-Fi portal. You select free messaging on your next Delta flight, and you are just in it, doing it up. You know why? Because Delta gives a shit. They're like, you know what? You're here. Get stuff done. They are consistently improving every aspect of the travel experience, including your ability to stay connected while in flight. With free messaging on Delta, you have no reason to stop the conversations you're having on the ground when you get into the clouds. How about that? I've talked to you so much over the years about Squarespace. And why do I love Squarespace? See, Squarespace loves to support new businesses. And how do they help support new businesses? By giving you the tools that you need to create an online presence that actually looks good and doesn't suck. How many websites have you been to of your friends or of businesses that are hard to navigate and look like shit? Well, Squarespace is here to help you showcase your work, your blog, or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds with just a few clicks. You can customize everything from the look to the feel to the setting to the products, and Squarespace's analytics help you grow in real time. Not to mention, everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. I swear to God, I've created my websites on Squarespace. You have created websites on Squarespace. You've sent them to me and they look good. Plus, they have 200 extensions to choose from, which helps you in many, many ways. I'm not even going to get into them because I would sound too dumb talking about it, but they got 200 extensions. Best of all, there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Though if you do have a question, Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help. A dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Unless it's like a weird, gross, like sex dream, then you don't need to make a website about that. Anyway, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. All right, now back to our show.
Well, let's obviously we have questions. Let's see what our audience has to say. If you have a question about this movie, something that you maybe saw that we didn't get to, right here. Okay, what is your question? Your name and your question.
Kathy.
All right, Kathy.
This is a question for you. Okay. Did you pick this when June was gone out of fear that when she watched it, she would ban the VR from the home?
That is a good question. My wife, I wish I was that smart. I'm glad that she didn't see it because, yeah, the VR would be banned from the home. Yeah. I got her to finally go in. My June, I have a VR machine at the house, and she doesn't like to go in it because she believes like things like the lawnmower man. Like, she would be sucked in, and she's constantly like, can I get out of it? And I'm like, yeah, you could just lift up the mask, but she's like, I think she fears that she would be sucked into some sort of, like Denzel Washington at the end of the movie, spiraling into a cityscape for the
unable
rest of
to recognize when she's inside or outside of quote-unquote the box.
Yeah.
By the way, the biggest laugh for me is that, like, they're tricking Sid in VR, and then they cut to the VR machine, and it's just the two actors
the
jiggling. Made me laugh so hard.
That made me laugh so hard that they're suspended in the air, but because they're running in VR, they're running in real life. It was so stupid.
All right, your name, sir, and your question.
My name's Rob, and is this the best actor in the worst movie in the How Did This Get Made canon? Mind you, I haven't seen Bratz yet.
Okay, got it. So using that, like, Russell Crowe?
No. God, no, Denzel, of course, Denzel.
Denzel.
No, I feel like we've had some really good actors kind of, I mean, that's my opinion. I think we've had some really good actors. You know, this feels to me, I really do agree, like, it's like, it was too many things. It was too...
And yet somehow not enough. It was simultaneously too many ideas and not enough of any one of them.
Like, to me, I believe that there might have just been a script about a cop chasing down a serial killer and then they're like, ooh, maybe put VR in it.
Like, I wonder if when the lawnmower man came on as director, he was like, let me take a pass at the script and just inserted all his, like, lawnmower man VR nonsense.
Because wouldn't it have been just, like, 25% more interesting if he showed any of the signs of the other serial killers. Like, that's what you kind of want.
Why couldn't, like, I guess Russell Crowe have also played Grimes? Like, I would feel more connected to that journey of vengeance if Russell Crowe had been the guy that killed his family.
Like he morphs his face or something.
Something such that like we see the connection.
He does a little bit in the prison van. He does. He flashes Grimes' face when he breaks him out.
I missed that. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Your name and your question.
It's a perfect film.
My name's Jeanette. I was going to ask if anyone else got as distracted by how much Denzel was shuffling when he was getting taken out of the first virtual.
I noticed this as well. Denzel is a prisoner. He's a prisoner in a like red light district prison where all the prisoners are behind like silk curtains.
It's a scene from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes. It's opaque walls that you can see their shadows through.
And he's being like escorted out, but I guess he has like leg cuffs on. He's like and it's long. It goes a long hallway. Okay, hi. Your name and your question.
Lauren, and we haven't talked about the little girl with the weird baseball conversation.
Kaylee Cuoco. Yeah. Big Bang Theory's Kaylee Cuoco.
Wow.
He talks to her about baseball in the car for a while, and then it never comes back.
Well, she says, do you find my mother attractive, and have you killed someone? Those are her first two questions, and then she's like, want to talk about baseball?
But I will say, most of the kids I talk to, that's what they ask me. Also, I shouldn't be talking to kids.
I would also say, look, I know that her mom is very busy and she seems to be a single mom, but I wouldn't leave my kid at home when I'm out hunting a serial killer who has access to seemingly everything.
With the world's shittiest nanny, too.
And who we know to be someone who leverages people's families against them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his MO. The only thing we know for certain is that. Yes, your name and your question.
Hey, my name's Matt. So the VR guy lets Russell Crowe go, and he immediately kills the guy who creates the cocoon robots. And then it smash cuts to the police having a photo of the dead guy saying, like, we need you to find the guy who did this. Why do they let the VR guy loose? Like, why isn't he a suspect? And why do they team up with him again to go back in the machine at the end of the movie? Like, why does no one suspect this guy who's the only guy who could let Russell Crowe go from the beginning?
It's a good point. It also seems like very simple VR technology in that the psychiatrist who has partnered up with the former, now cybernetic cop can just hit a button. He like says, get away from that console, because if she hits the big green button, it'll turn it off.
Yeah, she seems to know a lot about everything.
Yeah.
She has the skill sets of a police officer,
yes,
a psychiatrist, like a profiler kind of person. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, she's very computer savvy there at the end.
Similar to Castle?
Sarah.
All right.
So don't clap. We're cutting all of these Castle references out of the podcast.
But it's interesting you bring that up, because Castle is now streaming on the ABC Now app.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, commercial-free Castle is great to watch, because you don't have to wait for the cliffhangers. You just watch them, boom, boom, boom.
You know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. I think Castle is no bones, okay?
No bones about it. Castle's a better show.
You keep throwing Castle around, and it's not bones. Bones is where it's at.
Bones and Castle are two different shows, but they are both great.
I would like to see a Bones Castle crossover event.
Oh my God.
And then have them swap partners on each other's shows.
By the way, like they bring back Will and Grace, but bring it back like that. Just switch the partners and see if anyone knows the difference. Oh, I thought Boreanaz was on the show with... I guess I was wrong. Yeah, go ahead.
What were the odds that Denzel had the right wire in his arm?
That is some next level nonsense.
I
wouldn't even think that his arm would have like multiple wires in them. It's like, Yeah.
I feel like the pitch was like, now we all know cut the green wire, but have we ever seen pull the green wire out of your arm?
Well, this gets back
what
again.
What if he
now,
was the green wire?
Now that we're talking about it, because like he has a fully functioning robot arm. Now I believe the robot bartender was real. Like, if they have an arm, why can't they make a robot? In which case, why not have more robots in this movie?
By the way, I just, yeah. Maybe,
I'm a Jason.
Maybe that's how that single, the profiler was all the things. Maybe she was a robot, too.
Maybe the daughter was a robot.
Oh, boy. By the way, this movie has the longest ending. They get Russell Crowe, and then it's like another 20 minutes for this like anticlimactic scene of rescuing the kid that you know she's going to be fine.
I wish everybody had blown up. I wish they got Russell Crowe back in the box and then they blew everybody up on the rooftop.
What in your eyes, the light, the heat.
Your eyes.
I was waiting though for like the final reveal. Like, so he goes, he's like, oh no, we'll go back in the VR to find out the thing. And then at the end, I was like, when they saved the daughter, I wanted it to be like, and it was in VR the entire time. You know?
And then Kelly Lynch comes out of VR crying because that's the only way she can see her daughter again.
Yeah. Too far,
too
man.
Too soon.
Too far.
22 years
too soon. You fucking assholes. No. We're not getting sensitive here. That kid died. Kelly Cuoco died in the movie. She's never been on Big Bang. It's all robots.
Is this a prequel of her Big Bang character? Wouldn't that be great? Like if with some Big Bang wedding, all of a sudden Kelly Lynch shows up with Denzel Washington.
If Kelly Cuoco's character in Big Bang Theory is like, well, there was that one time I was held hostage. What do you mean? A computer program came to life, kidnapped me,
Bazinga. Put me in a water tank with a...
But you know what? It doesn't matter. Bazinga.
Seems like pretty primitive VR, if you ask me. Could be.
Such
could be the punchline.
Great.
Could be.
Great. And maybe young Sheldon makes an appearance. Right? Flashback to this movie, young Sheldon walks in and is like, I can defuse the bomb.
We've just created a universe.
Yeah.
By the way,
Virtuosity.
By the way,
Virtuosity Big Bang Theory shared universe.
And Lawnmower.
Young Sheldon 6.7.
Then Max Headroom 2.
I'm surprised it didn't end with the kind of like an open door for a sequel.
Or a post-credit, like, oh, maybe the computer program is still alive.
Well, they kind of tease that and then take it away when he throws the rock onto the manhole and it cracks. You expect it to maybe glow again and it just run it over.
Why
because the director was like, never again.
Why would he not dispose of this in a responsible way?
Yeah,
right?
Just randomly toss it off a building?
He also just throws it like over there.
It hits
it's
a man
not
in
like
the
he
head.
He throws it into the ocean.
Yeah.
It's not like, he throws it someplace where if it landed intact, somebody could be like, cool, what's this?
But isn't there.
I'm going to go home and plug it into my cocoon and see what happens. Yeah.
That, by the way, that's another thing. June will never get in my home cocoon.
Oh, man. All I'm doing is trying to get girls to come back to my cocoon.
I mean, this is just stupid to bring up, but like, yes, he tosses the soul off the top of the building, but isn't the whole thing like, if you tossed a penny off the top of the Empire State Building, it would like kill you?
Kill a person. He should have ended up back in jail.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie.
For the accidental murder.
Just shuffling back in.
And he thinks about it for a while too. Like he goes... You know, really.
Yeah, he had to take that back with him and like bring it with. He had to bring it to the scene of the crime.
Yeah,
like he should have been. Oh, wow, there's so many issues. Yes, your name and your question.
I'm Maggie, and Russell Crowe's suit is available for purchase. The green one for $2,500.
Wow.
Wait, what do you mean?
I don't like just this website.
From this movie.
He's haggling.
Yes, from this movie, I somehow Googled it and got into this.
Okay, time out.
Only 20.
Maggie? Maggie, was it? I need to see your Google search history. I need to see what you're up to. I'm worried about you. You're telling me upon watching this movie, you were like, I wonder what's up with that suit. I want to do a where are they now on this suit. Ooh, for sale? I'll tell the audience tonight and be celebrated like a hero. And instead, you've only made us all worry about you.
Thank you, yes. Oh, do you have a question?
Well, so at the end of the movie, Russell Crowe is like stabbed with shards of glass, which in theory should make him like stronger and alive, and that's it for him. So I just was the logic fell apart right there.
But he starts to, and then that's where robot arm comes into play, because Denzel's able to bash his skull and pull out Soul Gem. So
Right, because the back of his head was open like a flap. Yeah. Like, he's like, but again, I didn't...
Oh, wait, did Denzel... Oh, we haven't even mentioned. Denzel was given an injection that was basically Escape from L.A. level injection.
Oh, my God.
Like, we can poison you remotely.
Yes.
That never came into play.
Well, because Billy Forsythe walks into the control room.
Oh, right.
Unloads his weapon.
I'm sorry.
In front of an entire team of police scientists, seemingly. And then you never hear about it after that. He didn't get in trouble. Nobody.
So they have no backup for that system.
No, that is it.
Nobody's like, we have a redundancy for that, so we can still...
It's analog. There's a hard line from that console to his brain chip.
We've literally listed like 15 different plots that are going on in this movie that are all working in tandem perfectly. Yes, your name and your question.
I'm Taryn's aunt. Sorry about that.
Yep, thank you.
Teresa. Can we also talk about that random like relationship between the psychologist and Denzel Washington? Like, he puts his hand on her, and then all of a sudden we're supposed to care about this relationship, and then nothing happens.
Well, I have some interesting backstory about that. Denzel Washington, there was supposed to be a kiss, but Denzel Washington felt that the movie would not play if there was an interracial romance.
Really?
Yes. He's on record as saying
that. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which is an interesting,
Because I definitely feel like, they do have a number of interactions that seem like there is like meant to be, because I thought, at the end they'll be together.
Yeah.
Especially with all the echoes of his wife and daughter getting killed, and now he gets to save the daughter instead, blah, 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 blah. But like, it never went there. But that's fascinating that he put the kibosh on it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. Anyone want to guess what the tagline of this movie was? It's a pretty great one.
Things are more real than they seem.
Ooh.
All right. It is Hell Hath No Fury, like a composite of 183 serial killers meets Sid 6.7.
That's not true.
That is one of the taglines. Hell Hath No Fury, like a composite of 183 serial killers, meets Sid 6.7.
Okay, that tagline has too many numbers. Like, I don't think your tagline should have so many numbers and have one of them have a decimal in it.
Yeah.
You must not like Rent.
The other one, which I think... the other one, which is probably more used, was...
The show?
They're like,
that could be in the Bonds Rob Castle
Morrow
crossover.
Yeah, Krumholtz. I'm putting Krumholtz on blast. Numbers are a lie. The TV show Numbers is a lie.
The other one is simply, Justice Needs a New Program. But that doesn't really make sense in what we know of the movie, because evil has a new program. That would be the justice doesn't need a new program. Justice seemingly works fine.
Well, as we said, like, the captain of the police, Billy Forsythe, has released a prisoner, former cop, from the prison system to run the streets with a loaded weapon to chase down a nanotechnology, bio-artificial AI computer right. program, walks into a control room, fires his weapon openly. The SWAT captain, who is maybe my favorite, I don't know if you clocked SWAT captain, I looked up the actor John Walcott. Special mention, beautiful blonde mustache, SWAT captain hat.
Yeah.
And as they're firing weapons at Denzel and he just barely gets into the elevator, the SWAT captain goes, shit.
Oh, that's his old friend. The blonde mustache guy?
Is it?
That's his old friend from the Force.
Oh, like. No. You're thinking William Forsythe?
Yes, Forsythe shows up and talks to Blonde
Mustache
and says, shut down this helicopter. Get that helicopter out of there. And he goes, yes, sir.
Yes. There are more than one mustachioed
blonde
man.
Blonde mustache. Yes. I love a blonde mustache because it makes me remember about when I used to bleach my mustache and I thought that made it invisible because it was yellow. Do you mind if I pee?
And everybody called you Lady Magnum P.I.? Paul, are you sure the tagline of this movie wasn't a whole new chapter in crime solving?
No.
Or was it she's armed, he's dangerous? I'm sorry, those are the taglines for Castle, the TV show.
Yeah!
All right, partners, period, in crime, period. Is a tagline for the show Castle.
That's a smart and concise tagline.
Solving Murder Season 3 of Castle's tagline is, solving murder has never been so much fun.
It is fun.
Tell that to the murder victims' families. You know what? We're going to catch this guy and we're going to have a blast doing it.
If the family solved it, they would have fun.
Don't you guys worry.
And then she said, we don't have time for donuts. Anyway, we need you to check the remains of your child.
Can you identify this child? Great. You guys are real sensitive tonight.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's 8 o'clock. I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, get on board.
We'll talk about, at the end, I'll reveal who was originally the role was written for, but the movie was written for one person. That person was too expensive, but then the person was cast
In which role? In the Denzel role?
The Parker role, yeah, the Denzel role. Michael Douglas was doing this movie for a while. Then he dropped out, and then Denzel Washington said he only accepted it because his son asked him to do it.
Was it a book first? Like a YA book?
This is what I could see is like his son was like, Dad, what are you working on? I was like, oh, they gave me some shitty script about some virtual reality killer. And he's like, you should do it. He's like, all right.
What's weird is
I'm not home 6 months out of the year. I
wonder how old the kid was because it's not like this is a kid's movie or a kid-friendly movie or anything that would appeal to a kid.
Daddy, could you be gone for 3 more months?
Maybe his son just didn't want him around. Yeah. He was like, where does it shoot? And he was like, I don't know. I think in the Midwest somewhere. Go do that.
So it's now time for Second Opinions.
At first I heard this movie was terrible, unwatchable, unbearable, but I liked it. So I decided then to give it 5 stars on Amazon. I guess that's why you need a second opinion.
Give it up. What's your name, sir?
Greg Butler.
Greg Butler, welcome, Greg. Woo! Here's 2 copies of Virtuosity, 2 ways to watch it, Blu-ray and regular.
Great work, man. So thank good. That's how it's done.
Wow.
All right, here we go, people. These are reviews from Amazon, real people talking about this movie. This one's written by Shelby Pilot. Russell Crowe steals the show from Washington and proves his acting ability to the American public. Crowe made a plain purple suit look super fly. That scene that turned into a trailer with Staying Alive as the background music is classic. And seeing Sid that way makes me want to tear Crowe's suit right off.
Okay.
It's just so juicy. So ladies, if you're a Crowe fan and you haven't seen this, order your own copy, as you'll be sure to have it be your favorite in your library for years to come. Sid is just so delicious. Enjoy. 5 stars.
Okay. I have a controversial point on that review.
Yes.
I think Russell Crowe wrote that. I think Russell Crowe, under the moniker whatever, wrote it to tell everybody that he's dreamy and then to popularize his own scene that he championed being the best scene in the movie.
All right, well, I guess, you know, look, we'll see. Yeah, it's Shelby Pilot.
Let's click on Shelby Pilot. I bet she reviews a lot
Shelby
of Russell Crowe movies.
Shelby Pilot is the new John Barron.
Yes. Yes.
This is Marks.
That deep a cut?
The news
really.
Cycle has turned over too quickly. Yeah. We've all forgotten that.
I also love that she said that the Staying Alive was like, that scene with Staying Alive was classic, because I think when it was in Saturday Night Fever, it was maybe actually
that's the
also season. Classic.
Well,
also
see,
a
up
classic.
Until this movie, everybody had forgotten about that.
Yeah. It popularized that scene. Yeah. It called attention to it, finally. This is written by Margs. For all Russell Crowe fans, this is a movie to rent. For all movie fans, rent this movie. For all non-Russell Crowe fans, after watching this movie, you'll be one. 5 stars.
That one Russell Crowe wrote.
I'm going to say Russell Crowe, I think, might have written all of these reviews. I could see him like...
This one is from Tyson. Tyson writes, and this is it's a little weirdly worded. This movie is one hell of a movie because they both play very complex characters and they do very good jobs. You won't see the sadistic and actual enjoyment out of killing people that you see here anywhere else. This movie's a keeper. I personally like the sadistic demeanor and uncontrollable carnage in the movie. Have fun watching it. 5 stars.
Report.
Honestly.
Report, report.
That is, I think, a confession.
Love the Boston Marathon Bomber.
And then the final one here is from Margaret A. Williams. I love this movie because it makes me think of the future and how computers and machines could ruin our lives. 5 stars.
Well, she is not wrong.
I will say, I took a look on the whole IMDb thing, and that most of the people reviews, the viewer reviews, are great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the critics' reviews are terrible. And then I did see that Peter Travers probably wrote the nicest, most generous of the reviews, and still he called it stillborn.
A.K.A. stuck in chrysalis. It's a cocoon joke.
Cocoon lingo.
So, so people out there who have not seen the movie, would you recommend seeing this movie in the sense of why we're watching it? Well, obviously, we are watching bad movies. There's an enjoyment out of it. Does this movie register to you as that type of a film? Jason, we'll go direct on the horn.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty fun. I would, this was one that... I feel like would be okay to fast forward through at times.
Yeah.
But is otherwise pretty fantastic, especially if you're watching it with people.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fun. Yeah. And it's also on YouTube.
Yeah.
So like you're not going to spend any money, right?
Yeah.
Like and feel as always, if you reach a point in the movie where you're like, I think I'd rather not watch this anymore, don't.
Yeah.
Bloop.
Don't live your life. Live your life.
You could probably even Google on YouTube like the best moments of virtuosity and there'll probably be like a 4-minute supercut of it.
Yeah.
That would also probably feel like 2 hours long.
Darren?
I think so, in that it's like, it's sort of this mile marker of time for visual effects, for filmmaking. You know, you can kind of go like clock back in and be like, oh, wow, things were really... bad.
How far we've come.
And then I just think for the careers of its two male stars in particular, of, you know, where people can come from and still succeed.
Yeah.
What year is this?
95.
It is pretty amazing, like the difference in computer effects from this to now.
Story was made in that year. Yeah,
by the way, the top three movies in 95, Toy Story, Batman Forever, and Apollo 13. This came in 70th out of all the movies. And it was beaten by Congo and Judge Dredd. And it beat Hackers and Top Dog, which are two other movies that we've done on this show.
Wow.
Sarah, what about you? You don't have to follow the crowd?
Well, first of all, I will say that when, like, two great actors are in it, you know, it's always fun when you, like, I don't really, the only time I really smoke pot anymore is, like, right before bed when I sit down to watch my Law & Order Criminal Intent, which lulls me to sleep. And
Criminal Intent does. So for you,
all of the Law
for
and
you
orders,
going to
Criminal
sleep
Intent,
is D'Onofrio.
Yeah, I like D'Onofrio 2003 to two. I mean, I like all of D'Onofrio.
Sure,
I love D'Onofrio.
Sure. Oh yeah. Listen, we're all in on D'Onofrio.
But in the whole spectrum of him as Detective Bobby Gorin, I like the first few years. But anyway, I'll watch all of it. And I do enjoy. I'm going off the path a little, but I do have an answer.
Please.
But I am high in this time, and so sometimes I get very emotional, and I talk to the TV when I see a young Viola Davis play a crooked cop, and she's young, this young actress, and I just I stand by my TV and I go, "You have a huge career ahead of you." It's so moving to me. I'm like, "You at 50 win an Emmy and an Oscar in the same year, and you deserve it. And you have sexuality, and you're like totally." All right. Anyway, do I like watching this?
I would pay $1,000 a month to watch that.
To watch me do that?
To subscribe to you at night talking to the TV.
I really do it. Because there are so many great actors that go through that show. It's anyway.
And then I would pay to watch you fall asleep while D'Onofrio talks in the background, like,
"Where were you? Were you there that? Were you there that night?"
And you just like, and him just heavy breathing into.
I know, like every moment of every episode, but it just is. It's that. I don't know. Okay, would I watch Virtuosity as like fun to watch a bad thing? Yeah, it was fun. It was okay. It wasn't the remake of Dirty Dancing. The television remake of Dirty Dancing.
I know.
Was
I've heard that. That's really
the most amazing thing I've ever watched. In
I
that
feel
way,
like we got to do that. That yeah. I've
oh
heard that.
My God, it's amazing. I was alone, and I called my sister. I was like, "Are you near a TV?" I was just. It was incredible. Incredible.
Come back and talk about that on the show.
Yeah.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
I'll agree. Like, I feel like the fast forwarding, I think, is probably the key part, because there's enough fun stuff in it. I just think, like, yeah, I mean, towards the end, it just gets crazy. It's worth it. We didn't even talk about, like, when Denzel's really sucked in the dreamscape, but it's worth it.
Dreamscape.
Ooh, Dreamscape. That's a great one. I remember watching that movie. I think there was some nudity in it. I was very excited about it when I was a kid.
It's so hot. Sid, this may be Sid 6.7, but I would say you could watch it at a 1.5.
Boom.
Speed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sarah,
don't
I want
to... See?
Numbers jokes don't work. Okay?
Well, why was 6 afraid of 7? All right.
Sarah...
Because 7 ate a baby?
I think that was Fat Bastard.
Yes. All right, so Sarah, let's talk. This show just came out. Your show just came out last night. I'm so excited for it. It's a new Hulu show. If you have Hulu, you can watch it. It's called I Love You, America. I know it's hard because it's to tell us what it is, but what's the pitch for it so we can get excited about it?
It's a half-hour show. I have no idea if it's going to be your cup of tea, but I can tell you it is exactly my cup of tea. And it is anything with anything to say or even with a whiff of intelligence is served in a big bready sandwich of aggressively stupid, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
I am so excited to see it, and I cannot wait. So
get sign Hulu, up. if only to watch Handmaid's Tale.
Get on this Hulu train. Watch a show every Thursday night. And you can watch. You don't have to watch it on Thursday, but it will be every Thursday night. For how long?
You can watch it whenever the fuck you want. Yeah. It's just going to get posted on Thursday.
And of course, you're in Battle of the Sexes, which is everyone is loving. I have not yet seen it, but I've heard it's fantastic.
I saw it. It's really great, and you're wonderful in it.
Oh, thank you so much.
And if you're a person who loves subscribing to services, you can also watch Sarah's amazing special, Speck of Dust, which is on Netflix as well.
How does that work, yeah. Netflix?
It's, you know, look, it's not as solid as Hulu as a platform. So if you're going to have to pick one, pick Hulu and then watch that show.
But they're both just apps.
You mean like when's the entree?
Taryn, for you, this is what I was saving for you. So this movie was written for Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was too expensive to do this movie, and I bring this up because you star in, you wrote, you directed this new movie called Killing Gunther, which is a mockumentary action comedy film with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You got to direct.
He's much more affordable now. still ate up about 20% of my budget, but no, it's great. Please watch a movie. Please watch a movie. It's everything you said it is, Paul. Yeah, no, it was so fun to do. He comes in, he's sort of, you know, it was a part not written for Arnold Schwarzenegger, foolishly, even though the character he plays is Gunther and he's the best assassin of all time. And it was always sort of written as this like reveal at the end, but as soon as Arnold Schwarzenegger signs on, people know about it. But he was so amazing to work with. He was so fun, such a professional. It's a teeny little movie. It's literally like me and my friends playing assassins and hitmen and getting to run around and play cops and robbers, basically, and then chase after Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I mean, it seems so fun. The trailer looks amazing. It's October 14th right now, so where can people get it at this point?
Right now, you can rent it on like iTunes and Amazon. It will be in select cities, probably this is one of them, October 20th. It'll be in select cities in the theater, and then we'll be you can own it after that.
And then just tell me a couple more of these people that are in it, too.
Sure. It's myself. It's Bobby Moynihan. It's Hannah Simone from New Girl. It's Allison Tolman from Fargo. It's Ryan Gall, who's one of my favorite people. He's in Bajillion Dollar Properties, yeah, if you hilarious. Watch that. And he's going to be on The Last OG with Tracy Morgan.
It's a pretty solid
yeah,
cast.
Some really, yeah. We got so many fun, great, talented people.
Well, I'm very excited for that. And so
thank you.
That's your marching orders right there. Some good quality stuff. No. Jason, what about you? What do you got to plug?
I do a voice, excuse me, on the new Netflix.
Barely.
I do a voice. I do a voice on the new Netflix animated show called Big Mouth that Nick Kroll created.
Yes.
With Andrew, his childhood friend Andrew Goldberg. It's a great show. It's very funny. My character has sex with a pillow. The pillow gets
that's my
pregnant.
Favorite, that's my favorite kind of porn.
Yeah. Pillow fucking.
I was.
And by the way, I play your brother in this show.
Correct, actually, yes.
And and it's great. Big Mouth is on Netflix.
Yeah, it's
right
on
now.
Netflix. It's very funny and super, super dirty.
I will just say one thing, and it's a little bit more serious than a lot of the things that we talk about, but one of our interns on the show, who works amazingly good for us, one of her friends was shot in Las Vegas, and they have a GoFundMe that people are submitting to. So if you go on GoFundMe, her name is Tina Frost, and they're raising money for her. She's, pretty terribly hurt. So that's something to do if you want to do, yeah. So that's, I don't mean to tell you about that. So there you go. But a big thank you to everybody who is here. A big thank you to everybody who helps us out behind the scenes. Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, Kelly Alto, Leanna Waldron, everybody here at Largo, everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you guys so, so much. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I'll answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right. We only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial-free, and if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial-free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun, and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week, because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now.
Earwolf? More like Fear Wolf. Get ready to quake in your headphones, because Earwolf's movie podcast are talking about horror movies the entire month of October. Listen to How Did This Get Made, The Canon, and Cracked Movie Club dissect spine-tingling horror classics all month long. And watch out for special spooktacular episodes of Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast, The Cracked Podcast. And who charted? Or should I say, Boo Charted? Subscribe to all these shows and follow along on social media with the hashtag FearWolf. And beware of podcasts that go bump in the night!
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Ashir. What happens if Ashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad. Oh no, Nicole.
I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who...
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet. Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God.
To it.